Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining me in a few is Steve Kolesheski, and today we're going to be talking about human trafficking, in fact, sex trafficking. This is a parental guidance program, so I just want to recommend that if you have any small children in the room, you may not want them to hear or to see what we're going to be talking about. But we've spoken about this topic before on this program, and one of the things that we want to do is continue to bring awareness. It's so important. You know, we can't take action and we can't do anything if we don't ever look and see the problem. And one of the things that we want to do with awareness is to help people begin to start empathizing and having a heart of compassion. I mean, if you don't feel someone else's experience, if you don't put yourself in that shoe or in their shoes, or, you know, not look at the plight of what they're suffering, you can't be moved. And you can't, you know, get involved and do something. And so what we want to do today is kind of just bring some education to you, as well as showing you what is happening on the Gulf Coast. People are taking action. You're going to be so encouraged by this. But I wanted to share with you some stats before we got started today. 27 million people are slaves. 27 million people around the world, and it's estimated that between 1 to 2 million are sex trafficked. They're women and children every single year. This is horrific. It's not just happening in Asia or in other countries, in Greece or in Europe, but it's happening here in the United States as well at an alarming rate. They say that only 1 to 2% of victims are actually rescued, which means that there's a far majority of people every single day that are being held against their will. They're being victimized repeatedly day after day, and they're not rescued. They're in bondage. And part of all of this is for us to have the heart of God as believers and to cry out for those that are just locked down so that they can be rescued. And we're encouraged that so many people are beginning to awaken to this reality. The average age of sex trafficking victim is only 12 years old. So we're talking about children that are just kidnapped and stolen, and then they're being sold as sex slaves. This is something that is horrific and needs to come to an end. And we're really encouraged by some of the signs that we're seeing already. But what I want to do is allow you to see a testimony from Benjamin Nolo. He is the founder of a ministry called Exodus Cry. It's a ministry that's being used right now on the face of the earth to help rescue and educate those that have been trafficked, in the world. And so they also were the creators of a movie called Nefarious, Merchant of Souls. And we're going to be showing you that trailer today. If you have not seen it, you've got to see this movie because it kind of shows you more in depth really what is happening. But I want you to hear from Benjamin himself as he begins to define exactly what is human trafficking. Watch this.
What specifically is actually happening to these millions of girls around the world? And a typical scenario would involve a girl who's first brought under the control of a pimp, of a trafficker, of a brothel owner, and there's her introduction into a life of prostitution. This is one of the most horrifying things for me that I could possibly imagine, that a woman would be forced into a lifestyle of essentially systematic rape. And so as a girl is brought into this environment, there are very systematized ways that traffickers, that pimps, that brothel owners know how to bring these women and girls under their control. And it begins with a breaking process. It begins with a breaking down of that person's soul, of that person's spirit, of that person's body, of that person's psyche. They want to completely break that individual so that they are at the mercy and under the control of whoever that trafficker might be. And the process for that involves nightmarish activities of rape and abuse and gang rape and just violence against these girls to bring them to a point of being broken. Then there's a thing in psychological terms that we talk about called traumatic bonding that happens. And when somebody has had such violence committed against them, then there's a like a survival instinct. It's a psychological survival instinct that emerges in which called traumatic bonding, in which now I actually begin to bond with my abuser. I begin to bond with my captor because I'm trying to survive. And in that context is when these women and girls begin to become brainwashed by their trafficker about what they're gonna do for the trafficker, about the sexual services that they're going to provide. And there's a brainwashing that occurs, and over time, these girls develop what is called Stockholm Syndrome, which is where they begin to identify with their captor. And so, like, you know, in the 1800s, you might see a slave on an auction block with a ball and chain around his leg. Whereas today, that chain is psychological. And traffickers have become very sophisticated at knowing how to break down their victims, bring their victims under their control, so that they can put them out on the street. And we all think, oh, well, this is just somebody who's chosen to go into prostitution to earn money the easy way. When in reality, what's happened is she's been broken down through extreme violence, through rape, through degradation, and now is under the control and of another individual.
This is so important that we are aware of what is happening. I mean, this is horrific, but there's good news. Listen, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God has a plan. They can be saved. They can be rescued. God has a plan for every single person on the face of this earth. When we get back, we're going to be able to share Kataj's testimony and what happened to her and how she got rescued. More when we get right back from this break.
We'll be right back.
How do I love my enemies?
I think that love begins with the common human experience that we all have. And I think that the loving your enemy gets down to the basic human issues: air, water, lights, food, family, basic human essentials. At least let's love on the level that we exist, and then debate on the level that we think. But we have lost all respect and civility. And I think that it comes back to just respecting people because God made them. Mm-hmm. And how can you say you love God who you have not seen,
right,
and hate that is a reflection that he created? You cannot worship him up there while you resent him right here.
January 27th, 1967, Cape Canaveral, Florida.
10, 9. Ignition sequence start.
The crew of Apollo 1 conducts their countdown rehearsal when suddenly...
Oh, no, fire in the cockpit.
Gus Grissom, Edward White, and Roger Chaffee were killed in this tragic event.
A flight never intended to land on the moon, but vital in testing technologies to give NASA information to actually land the first man on the moon by 1970.
Astronauts often brought mementos with them on flights, and it had long been a dream of Ed White to bring a Bible to the moon.
In 1971, lunar module pilot Edgar Mitchell landed Apollo 14 on the moon, carrying with him a microfilm of the King James Bible in honor of the Apollo 1 astronauts killed just 4 years earlier. Engage with the Bible and every dimension of its influence.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Thank you for joining us. Right before the break, you had the opportunity to hear Benjamin Nolo, founder of Exodus Cry Ministry, who were the guys who put the movie together, Nefarious, Merchant of Souls. I highly recommend that you watch this movie. We're going to actually show you a trailer for the movie in today's program. But, Steve, this is just horrific. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there are some things that are happening on the face of the earth that we really need to be involved in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There is so much suffering today, and we have so many distractions that can pull us away from really being able to know and have an awareness of those that are not doing well.
Yeah, initially, you would think that slavery has been—it's done, it's over with. It's not in our world. It's not in our generation today. But it's like you see some of these statistics, you see the reality. Never before has it been at the levels that it is right now.
Right, and you know there are a lot of great, wonderful things that are going on all over the world. But a lot of times, you know, people don't want to talk about the suffering. They don't want to talk about bad things. I mean, who really does? But I'll tell you what, if the people of God are not aware of the sufferings of people around the world, then who really is going to move with compassion and be motivated to get in there and help them? I mean, obviously, there's a lot of people that are doing good works and are doing good things, but we have a responsibility. And I believe these are things that we're going to be held accountable for in our generation. What did you do? Those are going to be questions that are going to be asked about many subjects. What did you do? And we can all do something. And this is our chance to, one, be aware so that we can have some empathy and compassion so that we can take action. And action is so important. But I want you to hear the testimony of Kataj. Kataj was a woman, a young girl that was trafficked. And she has a remarkable story. And the thing about her story, Steve, like many of these young ladies, I mean, no one ever thinks it's going to happen to them. No one's going to ever think it's going to happen to their daughter, their niece, their mother, their wife. But it happens. And it's not just ladies. It's happening to boys as well. And you want to not live a life where, you know, saying, well, it's never going to happen. No, it is happening. And so you want to be aware. I want you to listen to Kataj and hear about her personal story about what happened to her and how she got free. Watch this.
I wanted to go to Greece to work 6 months and come back in my country and to continue my education. When I arrived, they took me to a house and take my passport and say me, if I don't work the prostitution, they will kill my family and they would break my bones. Break my bones. I felt like I wanted to die because I realized I could never live. I would drink a lot of alcohol so that I would not understand who I was, where I was, or what I was doing. I felt like I was not a person anymore. I had no heart, no soul, no will. He would sell me and I could do nothing. After 2 weeks in the 821 house, I was able to sleep again like I did at home. The people who worked there became like my mother and best friends. Sometimes I wake up and I don't believe it is true. My name is Katya, and now my future is full of hope. Thank you.
amazing. You were just watching a video of Kataj's testimony, mm-hmm. and it's from an organization called A21. And their goal is basically to abolish slavery mm-hmm. in the 21st century. And this is an amazing organization. Founders Christine Kane, and they have offices globally around the world. And they do a lot of things, Steve. They bring awareness, education. They actually help with these ladies. They yeah. rescue them, and they actually put them in transition homes. And it's a beautiful thing to see that women are being rescued. Yeah. These children are being rescued, and people are getting involved. This is a big thing. Yeah. Involvement is huge, and we're going to be talking about ways how you can get involved. But people just traveling, just going to different places, not recognizing that things can happen to them. And one of the things that we want to do is continue to talk about this, because it could be happening right in your local community, and you may not even be aware of it. And there's some practical things that you can do to take action, and things that you can look out for that maybe you just went by and didn't even think about it before. We have to begin to start walking in our community, Steve, with eyes of compassion, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the huge thing, because like when we're just going through our daily life and just focused on the task ahead or what we're doing, we're going to miss out on those people that, you know, might be right to our left or right. And something just might not be normal.
Yeah. And not only normal, but it's so important that, you know, we live a life that's, you know, you're engaged. Mm-hmm. Life requires for you to be involved in it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You have to live life with intentionality and purpose. And a lot of people, you know, wander through life. They just kind of go through the motions and kind of get up and go to work, and they don't wake up till about noon, you know what I mean? And decide to get involved. But if you take a different paradigm and mindset and believe that from the moment you wake up, that you can begin to start having impact, and not just for yourself, but we're talking about impact for the kingdom of God. You can start even in your own home. Sometimes people wake up, believe it or not, Steve, and they're not the happiest people when they wake up. You know, they're not joyful. They're not excited. I don't know why, because think about it. You woke up every day. You can look at your hand and say, you have, you know, five fingers on each hand. You have five toes on each feet. Listen, you're blessed.
You're breathing. Yeah.
Each foot, I'm sorry. Every person that's walking has the opportunity to live and yeah. to do something. I mean, there's many people today that are in hospitals. God bless them. And they don't have the liberty that you have, you know, today. And I think about a quote that I just saw from Mother Teresa. And I just love this quote. It said, "Let no one ever come to you without leaving better and happier." Imagine that every encounter you had with someone, that because of what you said or how you treated them, they left your presence better and happier. She continued to say, "Be the living expression of God's kindness." Kindness in your face. I mean, how awesome is that? Mm-hmm. Be the living expression of God's kindness. We have the opportunity to live life on purpose and to make a difference in every single person that we come in contact with. Listen, we're not promised tomorrow. All you have is today.
We'll be right back. Can a public school exclude Christian groups from using their facilities? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
Yeah, I would like to know if facilities form at a public school can state that religious activities or religious organizations are prohibited from using facilities.
Absolutely not. We've litigated that case now three times at the Supreme Court of the United States. The first time we won it in an 8-1 decision. The second time the case was unanimous. Even the third time, which was an elementary school level case, we won 6-3 overwhelmingly. So the answer is no. There cannot be a religious exclusion from access to a generally available public facility. If they allow community groups to utilize these facilities, they cannot deny a Christian group from utilizing those facilities because their message is one that has religious connotation, religious thought, or religious belief.
Join the American Center for Law and Justice in defending our religious liberties. Find out more at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
what is going on? Mm-hmm. The depravity of sin. That's the thing about sin. Sin will make you go, you know, further than you ever wanted to go, make you want to stay longer than you ever planned to stay, and make you pay more than you ever wanted to pay. I mean, the devil is evil. Mm-hmm. He is evil. He wants to destroy you. You know, earlier, and we heard Benjamin say that the goal of these traffickers is to literally break the individual, is to break that child, is to break that woman mentally, in their soul, in their spirit, in their physical bodies. They're completely taken over, mm-hmm. and they're completely defeated. They're not in control of what they can think, of what they can do, of what they can say. They're not even in control of their own bodies. Mm-hmm. And they're repeatedly victimized, yeah. over and over and over and over and over again. I mean, this is horrific. This is some reports say this is a $150 billion a year industry.
Mm-hmm. Bigger than drugs and weapons.
Think about how much victimization is taking place when someone is being sold for $10 and it's a $150 billion, you know, industry. Yeah. Listen, we not only need to pray for the victims, but we need to begin to pray also for the ones that are doing the victimizing. Who are these people,
right.
that are going, and many of them are Americans, that are going across the sea to these continents like Asia and Europe, mm-hmm. that are victimizing children? What we have to pray for both the victim and the victimizer, and help them to get free.
Yeah.
Because this is evil.
Yeah, and this is a perspective that you're saying we have to have that awareness of. This did not just happen, because so often you can see that moment of someone on the side of a street, or just say, you know, this is a lifetime. Yeah. This is a life that they chose, and it's just like when you hear some of the stories of these that are in this lifestyle, it's like they have been manipulated with such words and actions of fear that they're being told, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill your family, I'm going to kill every single person that you know, friends, if you do not do this. And it's just like, it just breaks your heart to see how someone can be just taken over in such a way.
Yeah. You know, Benjamin talks about the Stockholm syndrome, that they get so shredded and so beaten down that they have a bonding
right.
that occurs with the person that's actually victimizing them.
Like a sense of safety within them.
Or right. What? It's a bonding that takes place. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just really just a trap of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they can be free. And the good news is that many are being rescued. There's organizations like Operation
Underground Railroad. Yeah, we've talked about it on previous programs, and in regards to specifics, we'll have some resources for you. But this is a team of prior service military, and that they've come together and they've had multiple operations. We have
these are ex-Navy SEALs, Green Berets, mm-hmm. Delta Force,
mm-hmm. and they specifically target in missions and work basically in secret in regards to setting up agreements with those that are in child trafficking, to expose it, to rescue the children. And it's like these things are happening, but it's like when you see these resources, it's like there's something that you can do. You can partner with these organizations to end sex trafficking.
These guys are doing extractions. They work with governments,
mm-hmm.
and they'll go in and pose as ones that want to victimize these children and women. And then right before they make the transaction, the financial transaction, then the you know, police come in and they can rescue all the people that are doing this. But it makes me think of what's happening in our own country. You look at all these major sporting events like the Super Bowl and the Kentucky Derby, mm-hmm. of all, you know,
the World Cup.
Things. World Cup. They bring these girls into the community, and there's you know, FBI sting and operations, and they're apprehending a lot of these victimizers. But more needs to be done. And in fact, let me share with you some good news about what has actually happened on the Gulf Coast. A21, thanks to Beverly Mayo and 1728 Ministries, they actually sponsored a walk in Pensacola that was absolutely amazing. It was A21. It was a solemn single file walk that's basically took place in cities all across the world. So these were all taking place. And the purpose of this walk, and you're seeing some of these photos now, on your screen of people that just said, you know, in the city of Pensacola, we're going to be a part. We are not going to remain silent. We're going to walk in our community. I believe it was about a 3-mile walk. My wife, Teresa, had the opportunity to participate and actually grab some interviews of some of the participants and to find out why was it important for them to be a part. You got to hear this because to me, this brings great encouragement. Mm-hmm. People are stirred to action. And let's go to 1284. I want you to listen and to see what this young lady had to say about her participation and why it was important for her to be a part of this walk.
Good morning, Anna. We're here in the A21 Human Trafficking Awareness Walk for Freedom this morning. Could you tell me why you came out here today?
I came out here to make it aware to other people that there is a situation in our hands that we think there's nothing we can do about it, but there is. Human trafficking is a very serious problem that we have, that girls are trapped, where girls are trapped and don't know where to go or what to do or how to reach anyone to help them. And we just want to let you know that we can do something about it.
Right.
Definitely.
Right. And so you mentioned before that you knew someone that was a victim of human trafficking.
And it ended up in a sad story because she never did get out of it. I lost track of her, so I have no idea of where she is now. But like myself, I knew nothing about how to help. So
what do you think that we can do to help?
We can help by awareness, mm-hmm. by contributions, what we're doing. And I have a friend who actually is helping girls do this to
wow.
get out of this, okay?
Wow.
She's in Georgetown, of course, not here. But we are just here to make a small difference. Mm-hmm. But hopefully it'll be
yes.
a big help.
Yes, and we can pray. Right?
Oh, prayer.
Yes.
All the time praying.
Yes.
And it's just a beautiful feeling to know that even though we're not actually doing anything, we are doing something.
We are doing something.
Yes, yes. We are doing something.
Amen. Thank you, Anna.
How awesome to hear, Anna. That's so encouraging.
Yeah.
Because people are awakening and saying, listen, I can do something. I'm not going to sit on the sideline and say, oh, poor
yeah.
people, what's happening? No, I'm going to give up myself. But this was a Saturday.
Yeah.
They all went out and they said, I'm going to participate. I'm going to get involved. And I thought that was so amazing.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.